This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's being called a game changer and a life changer, and not just by Oprah. The Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins has gone viral, racking up millions of TikTok posts and a huge following worldwide. Well, the idea, instead of trying to change other people, just let them be. Let them disappoint you. Let them leave. Let them be who they are. It sounds simple, but does it actually stack up psychologically? Well, Nick Haslam is Professor of Psychology at the University of Melbourne. Nick, welcome back.
Thanks, Warren.
First up, for anyone who's missed it, what is the Let Them Theory all about?
Yeah, look, I think you hit the nail on the head before. It's basically this idea that we can't control other people, so we should just basically have an attitude of detached acceptance of what they do and sort of, if you like, let them dig their own graves. So rather than trying to change people, trying to sort of fight with them, trying to let their views of us determine how we are, we should just, you know, let them be what they are and cope that way. And after all, what Mel Robbins would say is that we can't control them, but we can control ourselves. So what we should try to do is actively try to pursue our own best interests aligned with our values. Something
Nick,
like that.
Nick, as you were talking then, I immediately thought of a few people and I felt like my anxiety just dropped because I thought, don't worry about it. I just let them be. I mean, is that one of the benefits of it in terms of it reduces our anxiety and our stress about trying to change people?
I think so. And look, when you actually read this book, it is a bit of a revelation. It does resonate with many people. That, yeah, why am I so wrapped up in this? Why am I concerned so much about what he or she thinks about me? Why don't I just sort of draw a little insulating barrier between me and them and just let them do what they wish? And if ultimately it's not good for me, then I can cut them loose or I can just adjust myself rather than wasting all of this time, bothering things with things I can't do anything about.
It's hugely popular on TikTok, and Oprah has even called it life-changing. Why do you think this idea is resonating so widely right now?
Great question. I don't really know. I think, you know, everyone is always feeling stressed and troubled, and a lot of that stress and trouble comes from other people. You know, it is other people who are responsible for most, we think, of our challenges at work, in our relationships and the like. And I think this idea that maybe we can simplify our lives by just saying, let's not bother with that stuff, is a simplifying message that people love in this sort of chaotic time we're in. So I think it's mostly simplification and just carving out a space for oneself. And, but it's a bit of a mystery. You know, these fads come and go. They appeal to different aspects of our predicament. And this one just seems to be going wild right now.
What if someone says, well, look, you're just, you know, relinquishing all responsibility? What would you say to that, though?
Well, I'm not sure what Mel Robbins would say. I think she would say, you're not really relinquishing responsibility. You're relinquishing angst. You're relinquishing shame. You're relinquishing sort of pointless effort trying to change people who won't change. What you're relinquishing is not responsibility. Actually, you're gaining responsibility and power. In a sense, the way she frames it is, whenever you are troubled by what others are doing to you, as you see it, you are giving power to them to influence you. And you need to reclaim that power, reclaim that accountability, reclaim that that ownership of your stuff. And that's actually not giving up responsibility, that's taking responsibility. So I think she would flip it around. Again, this is not my book, this is her book. And she would say, no, it's not giving up on responsibility, it's taking it on board.
If you've just joined us, we're chatting with Nick Haslam, Professor of Psychology at the University of Melbourne, about the self-help trend that's blown up on TikTok and endorsed by Oprah, the Let Them Theory. Nick, I mean, it sounds so simple. Is it a new theory?
Well, I mean, there are no new theories, I would say, because pretty much every deep thought people have had, or shallow one, has been had many times before. And I think, you know, some of your listeners will no doubt have heard the famous Serenity Prayer, and I'll read it out to you, and you can feel religious if you want to for a second. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That essentially is the summary of what Mel Robbins is saying. It is sort of serenity now, if you're a Seinfeld fan. So this is an idea that goes back, you know, to the early 20th century with that prayer. You can trace it back to the Stoics, you know, in ancient Greece, if you want to be really historical. This idea that we should sort of care less about what others do to us and just mind our own house, I think is a fairly old one. And there's a lot of precedence for it in other schools of therapy, you know, like there's a lot of sort of mindfulness sort of traditions suggest, you know, to detach yourself, accept things you can't change rather than trying to battle with them pointlessly. So I think it's not so much a new idea, it's just a really nice, simple, mantra-like way of reminding ourselves what not to trouble with. So not new, but maybe it's wrapped up in a particularly attractive way with these nice little two words.
Part of Mel Robbins' message is about reclaiming personal power, shifting from let them to let me. How does psychology back that up?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of what she has to say rings true with research. And so this idea that we should react differently to things depending on whether we can control them has a lot to be said for it. There's a literature going back to the 1980s about coping styles, and people often distinguish between problem-focused kind of coping, where you try to address the source of the problem you're experiencing, you know, front-on, confronting it, versus what's called emotion-focused coping, where you don't try to change what's causing the problem, you just try to change how you adjust to it. And essentially what the data show is when there is something that you can't control, it's better to engage in emotion-focused coping, which is sort of what Mel Robbins is talking about here. If you can't change something, rather than sort of butting up against it and trying to change it, look inward and address it, you know, in terms of your own acceptance. Say let them. So that's something which is based on a lot of science and, to be frank, common sense. The idea that we should, you know, embrace the let me part of Mel's equation, this idea that we should sort of guide and actively sort of seek to maintain and to seek our own goals and satisfactions, that also is sort of obvious, and there's huge amounts of evidence that adopting a kind of future-focused, agentic style of coping tends to be good for us. So I think a lot of what she has to say has some sort of empirical foundation. I mean, she dresses a lot of it in pop neuroscience and talks about, you know, dopamine and prefrontal cortex and amygdala and things like that, which frankly don't add very much to the story as far as I'm concerned. But the basic idea of adjusting how we respond to things based on what's controllable and being more proactive about pursuing our own interests, it's very hard to argue with that.
Jordan in Southbank says, this interview is exactly what I needed today. Just let them and move on. Freeing, hashtag freeing. I reckon we could start a hashtag movement there. Nick, I'm thinking also, I've got a shelf that's got, I don't know how many self-help books that I've accumulated over my lifetime, you know, with the good intention of improving myself. Some of them are so big, you sit down and you think, oh my goodness, it's meant to bring me into the now, but I can't get through it. It's so long and it's so complex. The thing I like about this, it's really simple. Do you reckon that makes a difference?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's all about the packaging. You know, I don't mean just the cover. I mean the, you know, that it being a simple message that you can apply in everyday life. So I think, you know, you can think of books as sort of falling, or self-help books or self-improvement books falling in kind of spectrum. And then there's sort of the fat ones you refer to, with lots of very complex formulas and lots of science. And it might be accurate and it might do justice to the complexity of our lives, but it's not practical because it doesn't give you a simple message of what you do. And on the other end of the spectrum, there are these overly simplistic ones which suggest that there's just some very simple recipe for perfect happiness. And those ones are, of course, ridiculously oversimplistic, but they might have the advantage of being usable and easy to remember. So I think, yeah, a more simple story, although, you know, scientific people like me might tend to get a little bit snooty about it, often are better because they are more memorable. They have a simple hook you can use, just two words, let them, you remember that, it's not complicated. It didn't really need 300 pages in this book to tell the message. It's really a kind of extended blog post. But Yeah, I think this is a highly successful book, largely because it's got a really simple, digestible message.
Another couple of messages. I read the Let Them Theory a while ago on audiobooks, and it has completely changed my relationship with my parents. I just no longer get stressed. I think they've earned the right to be this dopey. I don't know about that, but and I just let them love the show. Bye-bye. There you go. And another one saying, love this segment. Sometimes letting go of control is the hardest but most freeing thing. That's Raj from Kensington. So it sounds like everyone loves it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think those are sort of really lovely stories. And, you know, and what's sort of surprising is if it was so simple, why weren't we doing it before we read the book? If it was so simple to just, you know, let your parents be dopey or to sort of change how you respond to your boyfriend or whatever it might be, why do we need a book to tell us this? It seems so, so obvious. But you're right. This often, you know, with some people resonates, gives them the sort of kick in the backside or, you know, the impetus to make some sort of change. And I think often we've tried to battle with other people, hoping that we can control them because we're connected to these people, and ultimately it doesn't do us too many favors. And so simply getting a book that tells us disengage, look after yourself, pursue your own goals is maybe all we need in some cases.
Nick, just one final question. Can it risk people giving up on trying to improve their relationships, though, or is that a different thing?
I think it could. I mean, at some level, it's so vague that it's not really clear what it would tend to do on average. But yeah, essentially, what Mel Robbins says at some point is, you know, less the case with kids, but with adults, yeah, if people are sort of being unpleasant to you, or if people are just more trouble than they're worth, essentially, you know, close down, insulate yourself from them, which is kind of like cutting them loose. She has some, I think, quite confronting messages about, cutting loose financially adult children, which I think some people would find very hard to do. I mean, maybe it's beneficial in some cases, but it's sort of saying, yeah, you're your own problem. You do you, I'll do me. And sometimes I think, you know, trying to maintain a connection to others, thinking, you know, trying to control them in some way or at least influence them can be the more humane thing to do. So there's a little bit of a cold edge to some of what Mel Robbins is suggesting here, but it might also work in many cases.
Nick, I'm getting the wind up because news time is coming up, and I just went, I just waved to them, let them. Might get me into trouble. Great to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Professor Nick Haslam from the University of Melbourne.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.